Well, I get this. I know that the Lord did a lot in our lives last night, and I really felt like everyone we had a bite of the heavenly bread, and we really asked for God, and He came in His fullness. I know each of us at different places in our lives, and the Lord showed to us personal things about ourselves, or He maybe came and challenged you in an area that you actually must now go and pursue that. And the same with what Johan last night when he spoke about saying that whole thing of dead works. Don't just go do now and strive to follow God, but God showed you things last night and you have to go and pursue it. If he gave you promises, you must go and pursue it. But through that is pursuing Jesus. And I know I was challenged in certain areas of my life to do specific things to know that I want the heavenly bread. And I can choose to go back to the crumbs. And I can just come back and come to the next camp, and God can show me His promises again that He already showed me. And I can be a year behind. But I just want to challenge each of you. I really felt this morning, I saw this picture of the sun rising, and just us knowing that it's a new beginning for some of us in terms of what God has showed you last night. And it's a new beginning for certain things in your lives, or new revelations or whatever. But it's really a new beginning, and you have to take that mandate that God has given you, and you must pursue it, because otherwise you're just going to go back to the same old. So it's all going to depend on yourself. How much you really want it. How much do you want to see God? How much do you want to seek the promises that He has given and planned for you? So, yeah.
Amen. Anybody else? Word, scripture, impression, anything?
I want to read Colossians 3, verse 3 and 4. For as far as the world is concerned, you have died, and your new, real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in the splendor of His glory.
Christ, who is our life. Enige iemand anders. Last chance. Okay, thanks. Dankie. Julle kan maar gaan sit. Okay. I really enjoyed last night. Dit was gees. And so this morning I want to share with you a message that I really feel is of the Lord. And in a sense, one might say this is quite challenging, but it's actually not. It's actually very liberating. That's what I want to share with you this morning. A while ago, we spoke about grace and the power of grace, God's undeserved favor, and so I was thinking, what is grace for anybody? Grace is unmerited favor, undeserved favor. Grace is also can be seen as empowerment. But what is grace for? Enig iemand. What is grace for? Lots of things, but what would you say with the main purpose of God's grace? God's gift to us so we can actually live. Yeah, I agree. Huh? So grace, the purpose of grace is? For God's glory. Have you heard that somewhere? You are right. The Lord is speaking. Reese is hearing from the Lord. Other one is also true. But I would say, if you want to tap into the fullness of God's grace, you need to position yourself right. But I'm going to get to that. But grace is for His glory. But before we get there, A few weeks ago, we were praying, and I felt God speaking to my heart, and He told me, I felt God saying to me, I'm looking for a man who will do all my will. I'm looking for a man who will do all my will. And it sort of, I mean, there's a scripture about that somewhere. In Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Can you say that? All my will. It really spoke to me. So we were praying, and then the Lord saying, I'm looking, looking for somebody who will do all my will. And it really spoke to me because I realized, am I really doing God's will? It's interesting that you can be, you know, in the ministry or doing church. You can be busy with church stuff, but you might be neglecting the will of God. Somehow along the line, you might be veering off the course. And so God has been speaking to me about this, all my will. But if you see, it says there, I have found. So God is like looking around, he's looking. Now if you look at David's life, you'd say there was grace upon his life. Like on few men in the history of the world. Even though he had committed great sin, there was great grace. Why? Because he was a man who would do all of God's will. And so I see this picture of God looking, searching, searching. He loves everybody. He loves all his children passionately. And he gives us grace, a measure of grace. But I believe he gives more grace to those who want to do his will. And so it's like this past Sunday, I think it was about 30 teenagers in church. And there was quite a few people not there otherwise. But there was a large percentage of the church were teenagers. I was a little bit freaked out the next day. I was thinking, Lord, where are the other people? A few teenagers are fine, Lord, but not so many. They're becoming too many. They're going to freak out all the older people. And the older people are not going to come. They're just lots of young people. And so I was like freaked out. And the Lord told me, but this is what I've called you to do. I've called you to minister to these young people. So, okay, fine. Fine. I'm going to do your will. But it's amazing. It's like, for me, like church, but life in general, it becomes a burden when you're busy with your own thing. Everything freaks you out, stresses you up. But you say, God, I just want to do your will. It's amazing. God says, if you do my will, I'm going to look out for you. I'm going to sort everything out for you. I felt God say to me, if you just do what I want you to do, I'm going to bless the church. I'm going to grow the church. I'm going to provide in every facet, every area that you need. But just do my will. Do my will. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what people think. Just do my will. And it's amazing how liberating that is. The last few weeks have been so liberating for me. Except Monday morning was rough. But otherwise, when I worked through Monday morning, it was good again. But I just realized it's liberating when you surrender and you just say, God, I'm going to do your will. And so the Lord is looking. He's looking around. He's looking. Who will do all my will? Who will do all my will? But is that the question we ask God? Is that what we come to the Lord to on a daily basis, saying, God, I just want to do your will? Not necessarily. We come, Lord, please bless what I'm doing today. You know, that's often how we live. And 1 John 2:17, it says, it speaks just before that, speaks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And then it says, and it says that's of the world. It says, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. So the lust is that me, the selfish, me, myself, and I, what I want to do, how I want to do it, my program, my plans, my things that God must do. But it says, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Look at that. It says abides. Can you say abides? He who does the will of God abides in God, abides in his presence. There's special grace to the one who wants to do the will of God. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not saved necessarily. That word son specifically speaks of mature son. Many as are led by the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit can lead you. God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? That's the sign of being led by the Spirit when we do the will of God. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 12. The Apostle Paul praying, he says, therefore this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Okay, so this very important element of the Christian life. We pray, but I do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. That you may know His will. You can't do His will if you do not know His will. And so that's why when we come in prayer before the Lord in times of waiting upon Him and seeking Him, that is when He imparts to us knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now how to live out that will. And this beautiful, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Can you say that? Worthy. Worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. That's beautiful. Don't you think Jesus is worthy after everything is done for us? He's worthy of our lives. He's worthy of every facet of our beings. He is worthy. But let us walk worthy of the Lord. And I'm saying that to God. God, I want to walk worthy of you. I want to walk worthy of you. And the amazing thing of the will of God is that it is so liberating. I'm just thinking as a church and as a leader of a church, you know, it's so easy to compete with a church down the road. It's so easy to compare. It's so easy to say, oh, we're not so big as that church, or we're not doing that. Well, we don't have a building. You know, we don't know. You get so many things that can distract one. But if you just get to do the will of God, those things don't matter. Nothing matters. Because I'm just here to do the will of God. And if God brings 100 teenagers, and that's it, that's it. If that's the will of God, I will abide in that. Who are we to determine who God must bring? Who are we to determine what church must be like? In the sense of, you know, who He brings. And I just found that when I'm just starting to focus again on the will of God, it's so liberating because I have an apportioned, you and I have an apportioned inheritance. There's something that God has set aside for us and says, this is my will for you. So don't you have to compare. You don't have to compete. You don't have to look at your brother or your sister next to you. You don't have to think, oh, I just want to be more like them. No, you just step into the will of God. It's liberating. And then it says there, you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, but fully pleasing Him. Oh, that's good. That should be our mission, our passion. Jesus, I just want to please You. That's when you fall in love with Christ. If you fall in love with somebody, you just want to do their will. It's just, God, I want to do your will. I want to please you. I want to bless you. What can I do for you today, Lord? Fully pleasing him. And it's grace is for a purpose. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 15. This is where the word of Rhys comes in. It says all this is for your benefit, the Apostle Paul. And just before this, he speaks of all his sufferings. He speaks of all the hell he goes through. And then he says, all this is for your benefit. So that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. That's the end result. Reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. To the glory of God. Can you say that? To the glory of God. And so many people are struggling and saying, Lord, why aren't I blessed? And why aren't things working out? And why aren't I connecting with you? And why don't I know your love? And why? Because most probably you're not living for the glory of God. Just something that happens. It shifts in your life, in your heart, when you become consumed with him and his glory. And then there's grace. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. His presence will be added. His goodness will be added. Why should God give all of his abundant grace to somebody who's just not going to do anything with it? Why? Yes, he'll bless you, and he'll help you, and he'll be there for you, and he'll love you. But if you just want to use it for selfish gain, why should he? Why should he? It doesn't make sense. But if it's living for the glory of God, I believe God is saying, he won't be able to stop me from blessing you. You won't be able to keep me from blessing you. You won't be able to keep my presence away from you. When you live for my glory. So grace empowers us to obey God. And more than that, grace empowers us to glorify God. To glorify him in this earth. John 17 verse 4. This is Jesus saying, speaking. He says, I have glorified you on the earth. That was Jesus. That was his mission. I have glorified you, Father. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Go look at the life of Jesus. He is our example. He said, I never spoke anything you didn't tell me to speak. I never revealed anything that you did not show me. I was always in complete unity and fellowship with the Father. And I only did that. My mission, Father, glorify you. My purpose, finish your work. Jesus was consumed with this one thing. He didn't have the fear of man. He wasn't man-pleasing. He wasn't trying to do good and nice stuff. He said, God, I'm just here to do your will. I want to glorify you. Why? Because he loved the Father. You see the outflow of love, the outflow of that connection with God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. The Apostle Paul, he shares how he persecuted the believers. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. God, his undeserved, unearned favor and goodness saved me. Awesome. And then he says, and his grace toward me was not in vain. It wasn't wasted. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Labored more abundantly. Apostle Paul said, I did so much more. I did so much more than all the other apostles together. I did more than them. But it wasn't I, it was grace. The Apostle Paul had a revelation of grace. He had a revelation of God's empowerment so that he could do the will of God. That he could glorify God. It was his all-consuming passion. But it all flowed out of this one place. His love for God. The presence of God. He had this deep connection with God. And out of that place flowed life. I labored more abundantly. The grace wasn't wasted. And this is a challenging one. Because he says that I labored more abundantly. The Apostle Paul laid down his life like few men in history. How did he do that? Grace, empowerment. You see, many of us believe, you know, if you do too much for God, you'll burn out. There is no burnout in the kingdom of God when you live in His presence. Outside His presence, you'll burn out. In His presence. It's beautiful. Heidi Baker shares in this one video clip. She's drunk in the spirit. I mean, say, she's really drunk. And she shares that her one experience, she says she experienced in the spirit, she was taken into God, and at some point she was challenged with God saying, He showed her all the masses of people and say, God, no, I can't handle them. It's too many. I can't, Lord, it's too many. And at some point she says she sucked into the very heart of God and consumed by His love. And she just said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. And she just says that His love just so overwhelmed her. When she looked into the eyes of Christ, and the eyes just said, I died on the cross so that there will always be enough. And that's such a challenge for me. Because I'm always thinking budgets, transport, stuff. No, God, we can't do that, Lord. No, we can't do that. No, we can't do that. All these limits we put upon God. Telling Him what He can do, what He can't do, and when He can do it or can't do it. And with Heidi Baker, she says, she can't say no anymore. She just can't. She says she takes in everybody. That's complete suicide. But God provides. But she has a revelation, as Johan shared last night, of His love, His ability. He can do it. He can do it. But where are we looking to? Are we looking into His eyes? Are we looking into the fire of His eyes and saying, Lord, okay, I look to You, I believe. And so, I just so want to encourage us. Grace is not there so that you and I can just have a nice experience and then do nothing. If you meet Christ, you will not be able to hold yourself back. You're going to want to give. You're going to want to give of yourself and of your everything. There is no burnout for those who are and live in the presence of God. Now the good stuff. Grace, the next one, suffer. Suffer well. Yes, Lord. Suffer well. Grace is the power to do the will of God despite adverse circumstances. Interesting, don't you think? Grace is the power to do the will of God despite adverse circumstances. Grace is the power to do the will of God despite you being a mess. Grace is the power to do the will of God despite your life falling apart. I've experienced this. It's funny sometimes, you know, you people who get offended because nobody phoned them to hear how's it going. And I understand, I mean, that's where they are. And I'm just thinking, nobody's phoning me to hear if I am okay necessarily. But I remember the one time, just amazing. Maybe let me just give you the next one before I share that. Okay, I'm going to get there in a moment. Grace is the power to do the will of God despite adverse circumstances. I remember a few times in my life where things happened and I should have fallen apart. You know, it's like, it was not, this time it wasn't my screw up. As I shared with you last yesterday morning, wasn't my fault this time. And some stuff happened, especially when people did stuff, said stuff, accused you of stuff. And you now have the right to be offended. You have the right to walk away from church. You have the right to do all those things because this was unjust, ungodly, not of God. Something somebody did to you, said to you. And I remember it's amazing when it was like happened, and especially when it's like somebody you really trust. It's like somebody took a sword and they just gutted you. I remember the one time this happened a few times. But the one time it happened, I just went home and I was like, I really felt as if I just want to lie down and die. It's weird how these things work when the power of words and accusations. And I remember I couldn't pray. I couldn't do anything. I was just in my spirit. I was just, God, I'm running to you now. I'm dead. I'm going to fall apart. So I just ran to the Lord. It's like for weeks on end, I was just, God, I'm here. Heal me. Heal me, God. Restore me, Lord. And the amazing thing is that because that something happened, it actually released the grace of God over my life. It's weird. The grace of God is to do the will of God despite adverse circumstances. I tell you, adverse circumstances is the catalyst for the grace of God. It releases the grace of God. Suffering releases the grace of God because it causes you and I to sift through all the clutter. And suddenly we just know, God, I need you. It's amazing how thick we are. It's amazing how we think everything is fine. Then we're actually not in a good place. But it's when that circumstances come and the pain comes and the hurt comes and you take that to God, not to the wrong place, not to the devil. You take it to God. It's like, grace is released. And I remember the times in my life when I was down and out on my knees, Jesus, it's you or death, it's you or chaos. I experienced the power of God like I haven't otherwise in my life. The power to overcome. Adverse circumstances causes a release of more grace. Look at the Apostle Paul's life. I believe the grace wasn't just there to overcome his circumstance, but the circumstances that came empowered him to do the will of God because he ran to God. And he said, God, this is mislook. But here I am. What can I do? Lord, where will I go? Gonna get bitter, offended, angry, curse God? No. My God is good. Use it. And it's amazing, every time something happens to me through somebody else, even through a believer, you can say, it's so horrible, and how could they do that? They should do better, be better. It's amazing that after working through it, I can see that, no, God used it. Maybe it wasn't His will, but oh, God used it so powerfully. He used it so powerfully to change me. It's just, are you suffering well? Can you suffer well? You see, we've been sold a lie that grace and Christianity means everything's going to be wonderful always. In a sense, yes, everything is going to be wonderful always in His presence, despite adverse circumstances. The worse the circumstances, the more grace will be made available. Just something God is challenging me. I just feel a season that I'm going into. Because I know God, there's lots of people going to... See, when you do the will of God, people are not going to like you. They're going to accuse you. They're going to say stuff about you. They're going to not like you because you weren't nice, necessarily. But who are you serving? Are you serving God? Are you serving man? And so that's something the Lord is shifting now in my heart. I'm making a shift. I'm saying, God, you build your church. I'm going to do your will. But I can't build your church. But I'm going to do your will. You do the rest, Lord. Suffering does something to us. The most precious times of my life, looking back, was the suffering times. Really. The best. Because I met with Jesus. Suffering well is to turn to God in the midst of your pain. Suffering well is to turn to God in the midst of your pain to say, God, this hurts. But I know you're bigger than this. Colossians 1:24. The Apostle Paul saying, I now rejoice. Can you say rejoice? Whoa. Rejoice in my what? Sufferings for you. Qualified. Not being stupid. No, you stole something. Now you're suffering in prison. No, that's stupid. Okay? Suffering for you because I want to do your will. How could Paul rejoice in his sufferings? Because he lived in the presence of God. He lived in the presence of God. He lived in the presence of God. How can he sit in prison, stinking, filthy prison for years, where from which he wrote most of his letters, and say, I rejoice. Are you nuts? No, he's just living in the presence of God. It is his highest prize. His highest prize. And it's amazing. One clip I saw about Heidi Baker. She just says that she gets persecuted by the Muslims. The witch doctors tries to kill her. Lots of stuff happening. Lots of stuff. People throw rocks at her and hit her. And she said, that hurt. But I've never seen somebody that rejoice in suffering like that. Because she's just in the presence of God. It's just you're living in another dimension. But I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And fill up in my flesh. Now this is weird. Fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Paul is, you're preaching a heresy. Oh, sorry, no, you're the apostle. You, scripture. Lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. I believe the Apostle Paul could rejoice in suffering because he really found Christ in the midst of it. Why could he say that Christ's suffering is incomplete? Because I believe he came to a realization that when he comes in agreement, when he comes in unity with Christ's sufferings, grace is released. I'm filling up. I'm releasing grace to you. I'm releasing goodness to you. I'm releasing everything of myself is being poured out for you. Because something happens when that happens. Self dies. Self dies. Christ cannot reign if self reigns. Christ cannot reign if self reigns. John 16:33. These things. Next slide. These things I've spoken to you. This is Jesus. That in me you may have peace. How's that? When you're in me, you may have peace. Despite your circumstances. Not because of your circumstances. In the world you will. Say you will. You will have tribulation. Especially if you want to do the will of God. Yes, you can have no tribulation when you are not doing the will of God. But you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now, was Jesus being like mocking us? You're like dying and he's saying, be of good cheer, ha ha. No, he honestly meant, be of good cheer. I have given you peace and I have overcome the world. So, it's biblical. There's joy in his presence. 2 Timothy 3:12. Next one. Next slide. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all. Say all. This is good preaching this. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will. Everyone. This is everyone. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus was persecuted for the will of God. Paul was persecuted for the will of God. If you do the will of God, if you desire to live godly, jy gaan 'n paar mense ongelukkig maak. Who do you want to please? God? Or man? God or man? Will suffer persecution. So there's a sacrifice. But it cannot compare to the riches of Christ that will be revealed to you as you lay down that sacrifice. As you do the will of God. As you choose to be unpopular, but yet you please God. Suffer well. Do what is right. An obsession with Christ. God, I just want to do your will, Lord. I just want to glorify your name, God. I just want to, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Jesus, I'm seeing you walking beyond the, over the, I'm coming, Lord. I'm following you, Lord. Here I come. So what is suffering? Well, one area is deny self. Luke 9:23. And it says, then he said to them all, say all. So to whom is this relevant? All. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Now you see this bit, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow, is a nightmare without that. It's a nightmare, it's a burden, it's a nightmare. When you try to deny yourself, you try to take up your cross, you try to follow Christ, but you don't have a desire for him. And that's why this weekend is so powerful. Because if you would desire him, if you would love him, if you would be passionate about him, it would consume you and empower you to deny self, to pick up your cross, and to follow. But you need the first one. The other ones won't work. And you can see that. You can see that in people's lives. I can see this in my own life. When I'm not passionate about Jesus, all I want to do is watch stupid movies, crap around. I just want to be, I'm not excited. deny self, fasting, anything. Oh, no, nooit. I have no desire because I have no desire for Him. Desire Him. Desire Him and the rest will follow easily in the sense of there will be grace. You will live in His presence. You will receive His empowerment and deny self. Not a problem because I'm just so in love with Him. It's amazing living in His presence. There is only one way to come to Christ, to come to this bit where you follow Him. You must come through the cross. You want to know Christ. Lots of us know about Christ. But do we know Christ? That's the challenge. There's only one way to come to Christ. Last week or so, I saw a picture of somebody kneeling before the cross. And I just felt God saying, there you find life. There you find life. In that place where you surrender to the will of God. And it's such a challenge to you. It is so hard that you run to Him. And you're on your knees before Him and say, God, here I am. This is, oh, this hurts. This is, oh, this is a challenge. But your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. I'm sharing with you about real Christianity this morning. Biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity doesn't make sense, but it's so liberating. What does the cross represent? The will of God at the expense of mine. The will of God at the expense of my own. That's what Jesus said. He was in Gethsemane and He prayed to the Father. He said, Father, can we do something else here? I don't want to die. Can we? Anything. Anything else, Lord. Okay, but your will be done. And so the Lord sent Him. And so Jesus says, pick up your cross every day. Pick up your cross. And I believe God is calling His children to the cross because that's where we find life. That is where heaven and earth meet because that's where you lay down self and you pick up Christ. You pick up Christ. You pick up Christ. So where does the no limits come in? No limits. No limits. Do you know what are the limits? Limits, it's called self. That's the only limit you have. For the call on your life. Amen. We have agreement. Wonderful. That's a fate. The devil cannot stop you. Man cannot stop the will of God. Nobody, not circumstances, can stop the will of God from being done in your life except you. Self. Pride. Selfishness. All those good stuff that keeps us away. It gives us boundaries. It inhibits God from working. Self must be dealt with, but it can only be dealt with in the context of falling in love with Christ like never before. Otherwise, you're just going to love self too much. So what is no limits? No limits? Love must reign. Love must reign. That's going to break out of every boundary. That's going to break out of every selfishness. That's going to break out of every pride. That's going to break out of every self-pity. That's going to break out of all the nonsense that that keeps us from living for Christ. I remember as a student, and that's probably why I have this wonderful privilege of telling you those horrible stories that I committed yesterday of what happened to me in the past. But I was a student, relatively young in the Lord. And I remember standing in church one evening and it was like by the Spirit of God, He revealed to me my heart. It was just shocking. So much pride, so much selfishness, so much me. And I realized it's like, Lord showed me, I will never be able to do the will of God as long as my heart is like this. Never. I just realized God will never be able to do His will through me as long as my heart is as stinking and shocking as it was at that moment. And so I prayed. I prayed a dangerous prayer. I prayed, God, break me. Break me. Break me. And it's amazing how God hears those prayers. It's amazing. Because I realized, you know, if you don't love people, if their self is reigning, God can't do anything with you. He loves you. Always. But it won't work. Self needs to die. Anyone desires to come after me, pray a simple prayer. It's amazing because I've always said, Lord, change me. And I just felt God say, no, you just follow me. Just follow me. I'm going to lead you through some valleys. I'm going to lead you through some stuff. It's going to be challenging, but it's going to be worth it. Every time I felt like a breaking of self, I can really look back and say it's the most precious times. Because I found life in those times. I found Christ. So what do you need? A willingness, a desire. I want Christ. I want Christ. So what is suffering? Suffering is to deny self. And then the next one. This is a challenging one as well. And we don't like this one. Suffering. Now you can go on to the next slide. Go on, go on. Go on. Suffering. Loving to our own hurt. Jesus shows us the way. And we are to walk the same road. A road of loving others to our own hurt. You see, love is not defined as love if you love those who love you back. That's not love. Everybody does that. Everybody loves those who like them. But loving to our own hurt. Do you know? And it's something I'm working through. Jesus said at some stage, he said, for I know what is in man. And he said, I do not put my trust in man. I put my trust in God. And so, do you realize that people will disappoint you? Do you realize that people will backstab you? Do you realize that your leaders will fail you? But good news is Jesus will never fail you. Never. Jesus will never fail you. You can put your heart and your trust in Him. And you can love those who hate you. Because that's what God has called us to. So I'm just warning you that people are. That's how it works. And so the Lord is challenging me that whatever happens in church, outside of church, whatever somebody, whatever. Jesus is saying, you love them. You love them. That's suffering. Because you want to be angry and fight back. Jesus is saying, no, you love them. Jesus loved Judas to the end. He knew, but he loved him. Romans 8, 35 to 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, this is good. Nothing. Nothing. Doesn't matter what people do to you. Doesn't matter what happens in your life. Doesn't matter what people throw at you or circumstances. Nothing. It says there shall tribulation. Am I going to go through a tribulation, a very, very difficult time of pressure? Is that going to separate me from the love of Christ? No. Or distress, freaked out. Is that going to separate me from the love of Christ? Persecution? How can they say that about me? Is that going to separate me from the love of Christ? Or famine? There's not a lot of food on the table today, Lord. I thought we should prosper as Christians. I thought there should be famine. No, I'm still going to praise you, Jesus. Nakedness? Oh, don't know about that. That's a bit uncomfortable. I think I'm going to skip that one. Or peril? Or sword? Any of these things, will they separate us from the love of Christ? They can't unless you allow them to. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. That's dying to self. That's laying down your own rights. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, this is good stuff. Now this is a good representation of the gospel right there. We usually focus on verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. How come? Because these things releases grace if we suffer well. All these things, in all these things, say all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, through Christ's love. That's beautiful. That is beautiful. If you pursue the will of God, it will sometimes hurt. But you will gain everything. Last verse, Romans 8, 16 to 17. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Let's stop there. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies. If indeed we suffer with Him. If indeed we suffer with Him. That we may also be glorified together. Ay, ay, ay. We wish that wasn't written in the scriptures. But it's so God. It's so biblical. It's so the will of God. Because we are so human. And we need a little bit of pressure. We need it. We think, oh, how can they say those bad things about me? And then God would answer, you need it. It's going to keep you focused. It's going to keep you humble. It's good for you. But are we willing to be real Christians? That's the question. But even just before that, more importantly, do you really want to know Christ? That's actually the question. That is the defining, driving force. I want to know you. I want to glorify you. So where are you at? I'm not saying, you know, you need to be excited about suffering. Well, maybe a little bit. But it will be something supernatural that God will do in us, where we, as the Apostle Paul, can say, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. So the purpose of grace is to do the will of God despite adverse or difficult circumstances. And the purpose of grace is to help us to suffer well. And to suffer well releases more grace with joy in His presence. It is liberating. It is liberating. This is good news. It is liberating because you get delivered from self. Self, your biggest enemy. Self, your biggest enemy. Self will lead you astray. Self will get you in a bad place. Self. But to lay down your life is liberating. And then God says, now let's do business. Let me bless you. You're in a good place. You are in a good place. At the foot of the cross is where the glory is. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we praise you. God, we praise you, Lord. The purpose of grace. God, we declare we want to know you. We so want to know you, Lord. And I realize, Lord, that the path to knowing you is not easy. But there's grace. There's empowerment. There's joy. There's peace. There's your presence all along that road. And so, God, I pray, Lord, this morning that you would deliver us where we misunderstand you. Deliver us, God, where we go through things that is even the will of God or can be turned around for your glory. But then it causes us to run from you because this isn't Christianity or this isn't supposed to be so. God, in the name of Jesus, as you are calling us to your cross, you're calling us to come and die, but at the same moment to come and find life. So Holy Spirit, we pray, God, you come and minister to our hearts right now. Work in our hearts, Lord. Come and reveal our motivations. What drives us? Fear, worry, pain, or the love of Christ? What leads us forward to bring glory to God? Or something else. God, we praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take a few minutes just to pray in the Spirit. Just where you're sitting, let's just pray. In the Spirit. Just listen. Let's just listen to what God wants to say. God, we bless you. So I just want to give you an opportunity to respond. Just feel in my heart that we need to respond to the Word. So if you you just realize that, in terms of what I shared, that you know, that's lots of self reigning in your life, and you just want to say yes to God's way. And if that includes suffering, denying self, picking up your cross, if that includes that, then you say yes. But you want to know Christ at all cost. If you agree with what I just said, would you stand and just say, God, I want that. Just take a moment, pray in your own words to the Lord. Just do a bit of business with Him. Just speak to Him. God, we thank You. That we can stand humbly before You, Lord. And what we're doing now, God, we are saying we surrender to the will of God. We're saying we surrender to the plan of God. We surrender to Your ways, God, because we realize You are saying, I'm looking for a man or a woman who will do all My will. Oh God, may we be those people, Lord. May we be such a people that You've been looking for. You've been searching the earth. Oh God, I pray that You have found us, Lord. A people who would do all Your will. A people who loves Christ to their own hurt. But even that own hurt brings glory to the living God. Let's just pray a prayer of consecration to Him. And just say, Father God, I thank You that Your ways are so much better than any other way. And so, Lord, I thank You that if You say this is the way, then surely it is a good way. And so, God, I pray this day, have Your way. Birth in me a desire for You that overwhelms every other desire. And then, Lord, help me to deny self, to pick up my cross, and to follow You. I want to follow You, God, because I want to know You and glorify You. So here I am, God, a vessel surrendered to You. Holy Spirit, come, work in me and work through me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just want us to play that song that He loves us. Let's just sing that. You can stand with us.
Jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us, oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us, oh. He is jealous, and he is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and
to read this scripture, Psalm 36, verse 7. It says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. How precious. Can you say that? Precious. Is your loving kindness, O God. It says, therefore, Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. When we know His love, we will be able to trust Him. And God's ways doesn't make sense. It comes down to trust. It comes down to trust. God, if you say this is so, then this is a good way. This is a God way. And I choose to walk that road of trust. So I just want to pray for us for this. God, we bring our hearts before you, Lord, and we thank you that you love us. Oh, how much you love us, Lord. You loved us to your own hurt. And so, God, we thank you that you will build into us, establish in us a trust. As we come to know your love more and more and more and more, we will trust you more and more and more. And so we pray for that, God. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, just to end off with, I want us just to go in groups of four. And I just want us to just pray for everything that happened this week and every word. I just want us to just seal that and just say, Lord, even my mind doesn't really understand, but I know I've received something in my spirit. Lord, let it grow. Okay, so let's just take, just say 15 minutes until 10 to 11, about 15 minutes. Just to pray, maybe just to pray for one another. And then we are finished.